Good morning, mates. Our script, would you stand for the scripture, please? The scripture is from Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, 27 through 33. Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist and others, Elijah and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." This ends the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. And as you can see, after a week of VBS, everything is still shipshape here at the church. And I plan to sail right through this sermon this morning. How's that? All right. I even got applause on that one. Don't encourage me. I can keep going. Yeah, all hands on deck here. All right, let's go. I think they did this purposely to just keep me in one spot. I heard the tech team saying, "He moves around too much. If he just stay in one place." So here I am, stuck in one place. But now, we're going to talk over the next few weeks about what we're calling red letter questions. Now, red letter questions are those questions that Jesus asked. If you've ever seen a Bible that has red letters in it, you'll notice that those are the words of Jesus. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at those questions that Jesus asked his followers. And we're going to be looking at those questions. But I was thinking this week, if I were not a church-going person, if I had never known anything of God or of Christ or of the Holy Spirit, if I knew nothing about Jesus and wanted to know about you, I had just heard about this person, Jesus, what would I do today if I wanted to find out about Jesus? What would I do? Yeah, yeah, amen. We got that. I pay him $20 for every service he says that in. So, he, you know, that's another, I got, you know, I've only got 60 on me today, so let's, you know. But if today, think about in today's world, what would I do if I were an unchurched person or a not yet a follower? What would I do? Exactly. I would go to the internet. And so I did that this week. I Googled Jesus. Has anybody ever Googled Jesus before? I Googled Jesus this week, and I put Google on images. And so here are some of the images that I came across on the internet about Jesus. We won't go through the thousands that are out there, but here's a few sampling. The first one is what I'm calling the classic Jesus. This is the picture of Jesus I saw growing up, going to Sunday school. You would see him in the Bible. That's the Jesus that I grew up seeing in Sunday school. That's the classic Jesus. Now, the next one is what I'm calling the surfer Jesus, you know? He just came from the beach. He's got a tan. His hair's all messed up like he just got out, you know, didn't wash his hair or anything. He's just that surfer dude, you know, that just came off the beach. Then I came across this interesting picture of laughing Jesus. I thought it was interesting. I think somebody said, you know, Jesus is always so serious. Let's make a laughing Jesus. So here's laughing Jesus. I thought that was interesting. And for all you blind people in the crowd, I came across a blind Jesus. I guess, you know, when we wanted to be more diverse and somebody had a really bad hair job, I think, well, on that one. And then there's also, as some of you may already know, there's Buddy Jesus. You remember Buddy Jesus? And then, lo and behold, there's also South Park Jesus. And I'm not in any way endorsing the theology of South Park in any way by showing that, but this is what's out there on the internet. If I were to think about Jesus, I'd find this might be the only education I have about Jesus is watching South Park, unfortunately. I also found, if you didn't have enough bobbleheads in your collection, you can also get a bobblehead Jesus. And the last but not least is what I'm calling spooky Jesus. Because it looks like he's an apparition. You know, he's got this green glow going on around him. He's got this heart coming out on fire. And I thought if I were an unchurched person, this would kind of be scary. You know, this is kind of a scary look. And so we have all these images of what Jesus might be or who Jesus might be. And I would get very confused, wouldn't I? In fact, I find that actually we tend to, as I was looking through a lot of these pictures, there are thousands, that really it all comes down to we tend to make Jesus whoever we want Jesus to be for us. You know, if I were to pick one of those, I'd pick Surfer Jesus. I like Surfer Jesus. You know, if you watch Talladega Nights, you'd be like, I like the baby Jesus. You know, I like praying to the baby Jesus, you know, in that movie. But see, we all have our own preference for Jesus. And yet, Jesus is always shaking things up. Jesus is not always the person we want Jesus to be. In fact, in the gospel reading that we heard this morning, we have Jesus asking the question to his disciples, who do people say I am? And people, the common folk, were saying, well, you're a prophet, Elijah, John the Baptist. And then Jesus asked his disciples that personal question. He said, but who do you say I am? Who do you say personally that I am? And Peter, the bold one, steps out and says, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ, you're the anointed one. You're the kingly one. And so at that point, Peter moves to the head of the class, doesn't he? He gets the points there for moving to the head of the class at that point because he's rightly said he's elevated Jesus beyond prophet, beyond rabbi, beyond teacher to the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah. And he said that to identify who Jesus is. Now, I'm with Peter on that, but I want to explore just a few ways that I have seen Jesus in my life, and maybe you've seen Jesus in your faith and in your journey and in your life, and some people still are in some of these places. The first place that I think sometimes we put Jesus, and some people put Jesus, is as that only see Jesus as a legend or a lunatic. Most skeptics actually put Jesus in this category, that Jesus was just some legend from years past, some myth that was made up, or that he was just this crazy guy who walked on the planet. You know, even his own family thought he was crazy. His mother and his brothers actually came to him at one point to try and get to him and said, you know, he must be out of his mind. He's going around healing people, and these crowds are following him. He must be out of his mind. And I think when we don't know anything about Jesus, and if we did Google Jesus, we'd think, this guy's a little crazy. If I can get a bobblehead of this guy, must be a little weird. You know, but then there's also the category, I think, that most people, and even today in the world, put Jesus in the category of a teacher or a prophet, a good moral teacher. In fact, most of the major world religions today would say that Jesus is a prophet or a good teacher, and that we should follow his teachings. And other religions actually honor the teachings of Jesus Christ. And I even hopefully honor the teachings of Jesus Christ. But you know what? I find that when I only see Jesus as a teacher, I tend to only choose the teachings that I like. You know? Have you ever taken a class from a teacher that you really like, and you like the thing, you learn certain things, and you like those things, and you remember those things, and you kind of throw out all the other stuff you didn't like? You know, because I think sometimes in learning Jesus' teachings, I really like some of his teachings, like love your neighbor, that's a good teaching. But then he goes and says, sell all your possessions and give them to the poor. I don't like that teaching. You know, he says, have compassion on everybody you see and bring healing. I like that teaching. And then he says, love your enemies. I don't like that teaching. There's all kinds of ways that, see, even as Jesus' teacher, I can still kind of pick and choose how I want Jesus to be in my life. The other category I've often put Jesus in as well is Jesus is Savior. Jesus is my Savior, we would say, and we sang a little bit about that this morning, and we would certainly honor Jesus as our Savior, the one who saves us from our sins, who gave his life for us on the cross. But even there, if we just leave Jesus at Savior, it may not be enough. You know, it's kind of like I lived formerly having my, it's like I acknowledge Jesus as my Savior. I believe Jesus is my Savior, and I've kind of got my ticket to heaven. And so I'm good, you know, I'm set for that. And I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to change anything else about my life. I've got my fire insurance, and I'm ready to go. So if that's all that we see Jesus as, then we've really limited who Jesus is. And then also, as we sing as well, is that Jesus is our friend, that we are to have a relationship with Jesus and walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus, and Jesus is to be our friend. Yet if I just keep Jesus there, I don't know, if I treat Jesus just like one of my friends, I don't know that that would be the best thing either. But Peter has rightly put Jesus in the place of Lord. And that's the other place that Jesus comes to us, that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the leader of my life. Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one. And to say Jesus is Lord is to say, Jesus, I'm not just only your friend, you're not only my Savior, but you are the leader of my life. You are the king of my life. I am to bring my allegiance to you and my loyalty to you. That's what it means to have Jesus be the leader, the Lord of our lives. Now, I haven't always been there, and I'm still not there every day. But I strive to make Jesus the leader of my life. Do you know, there was a time in my life where I just saw Jesus as a good friend, kind of like Buddy Jesus, you know? And I thought Jesus kind of went with me everywhere, and I do believe that Jesus does go with us and is present with us. And yet, I grew up, and I went to the Great College of University of Maryland in College Park. Can I get an amen? Can I get a witness? All right. Since I said that at early service, people have already been informing me of their alma maters, and we're not even going to go into all the other alma maters here, but I went to Maryland, and you guys can inform me later of which school you went to and which one to root for during March Madness and all that good stuff. We'll get there in March. I went to the University of Maryland, and it was a time in my life where I knew Jesus as my bud, my friend, but yet I hadn't really changed anything about my life. And I would go on Thursday night, I would go to Bible study, and I'd learn about Jesus, and then I would take a cross-campus bus at College Park. It was about a 10-minute ride from where I had Bible study over to Route 1. You know about Route 1. All right. I see I'm in good company here this morning. All right, I've not been the only one over there. And on Route 1, there are many pubs and establishments that many college students visit. And you know, the weekend in college, folk, parents with college students, it starts Thursday night. People skip Friday classes. It's a weekend starts Thursday night, and we go and we start studying again Sunday night. We pull an all-nighter for the week ahead. There's only a four-day week in college. You knew that, right? So we begin Thursday night. So I go Bible study, and I go to the establishments on Route 1. But on that bus ride, every night, I would have this conversation with myself or maybe someone else. And the conversation would go like, Matt, what are you doing? Is this really what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian or as a follower of Christ? And I'd be like, yeah, nobody minds. I'm not hurting anybody. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm having a good time. I'll get to that Jesus, you know, living for Jesus stuff. I'll do that later after I get out of college. After I get married, maybe have some kids, then I'll worry about that. And as I sat there Thursday night after Thursday night, this same thing would happen. And then one Thursday night, I actually got to an establishment, which will remain nameless. And I got to establish with my friends, and I was the first generous person to dole out all the things on that evening. And as everybody took off to the corners of the establishment, and I was left alone there by myself, because I brought the first round. And there that voice came again. And this time I heard it more clearly. And the voice was saying to me, within me, saying, Matt, you don't belong here. You belong to me. You're mine. I have more for you than just this. And it's at that moment that I said, you know what? You're right. And I walked out, and I never went back. I never went back to doing that on the weekends. I began to start to find out how I was to live my life to make Jesus the leader of my life and what that meant. If you are interested in exploring more about who Jesus is, I'm going to recommend a book to you this morning. It's called The Jesus I Never Knew by Philip Yancey. Be a good book to read if you want to know more about Jesus and your relationship with Jesus and who Jesus was and is today. But we all have to come to those places where we have to decide who Jesus is to us, because when we identify Jesus, it directly impacts how we relate to God and how we relate to the world around us. But you know, back to Peter. You know, Peter still didn't get it all. Did you notice that? He didn't get it right? Because he had just moved to the head of the class, right? Said, "You're the Messiah." But then Jesus says to Peter and the disciples, "I'm a Messiah who's actually going to give his life and lay down his life, and I'm going to be put to death." And that didn't sit well with Peter, because that wasn't who Peter had in mind for Jesus. And so Peter, can you imagine this? Peter pulls Jesus aside to have a little talk with him. And says, "Jesus, we're good on the Messiah thing, right? Okay, well, let me just let you know that Messiahs don't go to crosses. Messiahs don't give their lives. Messiahs rule and take thrones and are become kings. That's your role, right?" And that's where Jesus says, "Peter, get behind me, Satan." He's saying, "Peter, you're now at the, you're the dunce in the corner now. Because you don't have the things of God in mind, you have the things of humans in mind." Again, Peter was trying to make Jesus out who he wanted Jesus to be, not who Jesus really was. You see, Jesus was saying to his disciples, to really follow me, to make me king and leader of your life, is to live a life of sacrifice, to give everything you can to follow. Later on, Jesus says to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." A life of sacrifice that leads to the redemption of the world, that leads to change in other people's lives, that leads to good things for this place. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Christ today. But my hope would be, no matter where you relate to him or identify him, that you would just do whatever it takes to take a step closer to making him the leader of your life. That is the greatest decision I've ever made. And you know, I've actually come across three kinds of people who claim to follow Christ. The three people I've come across in my life are the kind that sign in pencil. They sign to follow Christ in pencil so they could erase it later if they need to. Then there are those who sign in pen. And then there are those who sign in blood. Which one are you today? Amen.